We had two polls come out, one that showed us within 4 points and the other with 5. Right? That's 50-50. And somebody is getting a little scared about it. I'm not gonna lie. So the craziest thing happened the other day. Well, I should give you some background first. So a year ago, I went out to the Missouri State Fair. Go every year, take the family. And lo and behold, Josh Hawley was at the State Fair. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, I never met the guy before. Maybe I should go up and say hi to him. Can anybody guess what happened? I'm telling you, people, it was January 6th all over again. Quick as he could, right away. But I will give the man some credit. In the intervening year, it seems he spent a lot of time rereading his book on manhood because he came to play this year. Yeah, if you don't know, Josh Hawley literally wrote a book and titled it Manhood. Like, I'm not kidding you. It's world's greatest self-help book. You can get it for $2 on Amazon. The Secrets of Masculinity from the Coward of January 6th himself. It's the craziest thing you ever heard. But first of all, shame on y'all for laughing about it. And the reason I say that comes from a very dark place. You see, my campaign manager made me read the thing. I'm never going to get those hours back, and it was a brutal experience. However, and y'all aren't going to like this, I wish that we could make that book required reading for everyone who votes in November. I know, you don't want to read it, but I'm telling you, just think about it. Just suffering through that is a small sacrifice for us winning 98-2, because I swear to God, if everybody had to read it, that is how much we would win by. Like, it's absolutely crazy. It's got all the usual stuff you would expect out of Josh Hawley, like, women need to be out of the workplace, back in the kitchen, you know, kind of the standard run-of-the-mill stuff from him. But he also, and this is a bold thing to do, I gotta give him credit for this, he starts with Adam and compares himself to his favorite male biblical figures and said that if everyone just lived their life more like Josh Hawley, it would solve America's masculinity crisis. I'm not kidding. It's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. And unfortunately, I don't think everybody's going to read it, but honestly, I think they can see what a creep the guy is anyway. And I actually discovered this personally myself. This is where I was going earlier at the State Fair this year. So if you didn't see, the wildest thing happened. Again, he came motivated this year. And so I'm talking to this farmer named Wes in the pavilion, and we're just hanging out. He's talking about beef checkoff programs, you know, all that sort of stuff. Big ag, destroying his livelihood. Sadly, the truth here in Missouri for a lot of folks. And we're talking, we just hear like this ruckus coming from the background. And it starts to get clearer after a little bit, and it's like, we hear, Coons, where's Coons? Has anybody seen Coons? Is Coons out of his basement yet? And we're like, what on earth is that? And sure enough, our sitting U.S. Senator has gone WWE SmackDown. I don't know if anybody watches their Friday night television. The guy's been watching too much of it. I mean, full on SmackDown, like running through the hall, yelling as loud as he can for me, and completely mic'd up, camera crew trailing him, pushing people out of the way to try to find me. Cutest little Western outfit you have ever seen. I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm willing to compliment the man when he does something right. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. Pearl snaps. Shirt was a few sizes too small, but hey, man, the rest of it, he really killed it. And did anybody see that Barbie movie? I'm telling you right now, Midwestern Ken. It was incredible. Hair blown out, like, amazing thing, amazing thing. And so I'm there, and I'm just like, this man is just standing right here, like, just right here next to me, just yapping up at me nonstop about who knows what. And I'm thinking to myself, again, like, why would a sitting U.S. senator do something like this? Like, this is crazy, right? And it is fear. It's fear. He's seen the same numbers we've seen. They're getting public now. And the man is in trouble, and it's got him scared. And I tell you what, right now, I would be scared if I was him, too. Oh. Right? You know, honored me to 5 televised debates. I even told him, like, you know, if you need a safe space, we can do one on Fox News, man. I know that's the rage now, so if you need that, we can give that to you. And just today, he finally supposedly agreed to one. He says, we need to do it on Halloween when no one will be watching and half the people have already voted. And it's like, well, I'll be there. We can do it that way, but that's where the guy's at, right? He's scared because he doesn't want to answer the hard questions about his record and the fact that he stands with what nobody here in Missouri wants right now, you know? He stands behind an abortion ban that has no exceptions for rape or incest from day one, right? And he thinks if a woman wants to do something about that and not carry her rapist child, then that person is a bigger criminal than the person that attacked them, right? It's crazy. Like, it's crazy. The man wrote in 2013. Did anybody see how in Alabama a little while ago they made in vitro fertilization illegal? So a lot of folks don't know this. Josh Hawley in 2013, he's cutting edge, folks. I'm telling you, he's cutting edge. In 2013, he wrote an article in the Springfield Newsleader where he outlined why in vitro fertilization, the morning after pill, and other types of contraception are the exact same thing as abortion and should be banned and treated as murder, right? Like 2013, like I said, I'll give it to him, cutting edge, man. That was years before the rest of them caught on, but that's where he's at. And just this week, he voted against protecting in vitro fertilization for the second time. He's voted against protecting contraception. He voted against protections for pregnant workers. And this one's really wild. He has come out and said that he doesn't think people should have access to no-fault divorces anymore, which is a life-saving measure for people who are trapped in abusive and unsafe marriages, right? He wants to take that away. That's crazy. Instead of clapping, we can boo that because that's bad, right? And so again, like, I can see why the man is scared, because he's on the wrong side of all these issues. And so, you know, I'm standing here right now, and I'm just going to tell you straight up, like, I don't think we need creeps like Josh Hawley deciding how we get to live, right? That's just it. And I really mean that. Like, we are smart enough to make our own decisions. That's just it. And so, you know, I'm going to promise you right now, as your U.S. Senator, I will vote to codify Roe versus Wade so that we don't have to worry about these guys. And the thing is, we have to do that because no matter what we do this fall, we have to beat Josh Hawley because you know what? He has already signed on to a national abortion ban that will override the vote of Missouri voters on our constitutional amendment, right? He has already done that. He is ready to do it. He's going to take it away at the national level if he can't take it away there. It's like, again, this is our chance. We got to take power back for ourselves because otherwise he's going to just keep grabbing everything that he can. And so. I can't believe that I actually have to say this, but as a U.S. Senator, I also will protect in vitro fertilization and contraception. Because we deserve to have the tools to build our families the way we see fit, right? To raise, protect, and build them the way that we see fit. I'm going to make sure every chance I get that we're able to make our own decisions about our lives. And, you know, I learned Missourians can make our own decisions when I was a kid growing up in Mid-Missouri. Right here is where I learned that, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. You know, when I was a kid, well, my mom's here, so I might as well just call her out a little bit more. So she was one of those typical Mid-Missouri stories, right? Now, she went to Rockbridge, and my dad went to Hickman, so I don't know if you know those schools, but I guess there's a little bit of Romeo and Juliet vibe going on there. But they got married when they were 19 and 22 years old. And they were Catholic, and I don't know if we got any Catholics in the room, or anybody got Catholic friends? Well, tell me, what happens when a young Catholic couple follows the rules? You know what happens, right? Kid, 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 and the paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle goes along with that. And that's not a complaint, though. You know, we grew up in a great working-class neighborhood on the east side of Jeff City where everybody took care of each other. And the example I'll give for that is, you know, really, the reason my parents stopped after 4 kids is because my littlest sister was born with a very serious heart condition. And, you know, she was immediately airlifted from here in Mid-Missouri up to St. Louis. My parents had to chase her down in our old rusted-out Ford conversion van. Or actually, they'll tell you that my their doctor actually gave them a $20 bill so they could fill it up with gas and get to St. Louis, right? Because that's the way we take care of each other in this state. And it's really tough to remember those times and watching my parents struggle because of the way that the system in our country has been built by politicians and financiers who just don't care about any of us, right? It's all about extracting our wealth, turning our suffering and pain into shareholder profits for them. And we saw that firsthand, you know? I mean, what happens in this country and in this state when a paycheck-to-paycheck family runs up against a medical disaster? Anybody know? That's right. You aren't going to make it. Bankrupt. And so before long, my parents went bankrupt. And I remember watching them struggle not just with whether or not their little girl was going to survive. And really, there was no way to know at that time. She had 3 open heart surgeries. I mean, thank God she made it, right? God bless modern medicine on that one. But they also had to struggle with how we were going to make it as a family. And when you're going through bankruptcy, it's not an easy thing. It's not a pretty thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason that we made it through that time was not because country club politicians like Josh Hawley were there for us. Absolutely not. We made it through that time because the people in our neighborhood who had no more money than we did, right? This is a working class neighborhood on the east side of Jeff City. Clark and Dunklin, if anybody knows it, right?
Yeah.
We made it because our neighbors passed a plate down at my mom's prayer group for us. They brought more food by the house than we could ever eat. They took me and my other siblings into their houses for weeks at a time while my parents were in St. Louis for surgeries, right? That is the strength that we have in our communities in this state. And I bet that everybody in this room has been a part of that on one side or the other. Whether you've been helping your neighbor, whether you've been receiving it, or both of those things, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, when we go around this state, everybody in Missouri gets it. Every single person who's been in this state has been a part of that one time or another, right? And I'm telling you, we are going to win because everybody in this state gets that and they know how to take care of one another. Well, almost everyone. I do believe that there is one person in this state that I can with certainty say doesn't get it. And you know what? Seems like he's probably not in this state anyway, as far as I can tell, right? Josh Hawley does not get it. He's wrong for Missouri. He's a fraud and he's a coward, and we're going to take him down. There's a sign right there. Josh Hawley's a fraud and a coward. That's right. And I'm going to tell you how I know that and talk about a little bit of what he's done to our communities. But first, I lost someone very important to me this year, and I want to tell a little story about him. And so his name's Al Mueller. He actually ran the Cole County like water towers for a while. He was Cole County treasurer for a little bit, and he passed away this summer. And I don't know if anybody here knows him or not, but he was a great man. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason I'm in this race and the reason I became a U.S. Marine is because of him. And so I want to tell you what that looked like. And so, you know, when we were growing up, Harvey's getting restless, I think. When we were growing up, my parents, you know, despite the fact that we didn't have a lot of money, they wanted to make sure that we understood what service to the community was, right? And so our church, Immaculate Conception Parish there in Jeff City, they had these monthly dinners. Just anybody who wanted to come get a meal. And so my mom and dad would take us down to these things. And it was me and my next sister. So it was the two oldest of us. We'd go to these dinners and to see what it was like and to help out. And so the guy I'm talking about, Al, he ran the parish kitchen. And so whenever we would arrive, he'd gather all the kids together and to figure out what chores we wanted to do. So he'd be like, all right, kids, come here. You know, what chores do y'all want to do? And you could pick between, you know, doing the dishes, setting the tables, greeting people as they came in, handing out food, clearing tables, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? And, you know, he'd say things like, now if y'all pick the same thing, I'm going to have to pick for you, so be smart now, you know, stuff like that. And so me and my sister, every time Al asked, we're like, oh, Mr. Al, Mr. Al, ooh, Mr. Al, Mr. Al. We want to do the dishes. And Al's like, man, what the hell was wrong with these kids, right? Like, of all the things I'm laying out for them right now, these kids want to do the dishes. And so every time we do it, man, he's like, what is going on with these two? But what he didn't realize is that when you got a big family at home, I'm telling you, doing the dishes was 45 minutes of hard labor at the sink every night. Like, sorry, Mom, but when Mom's cooking and she's not doing the dishes afterwards, I'm going to tell you right now, she is not as worried about what gets cooked onto those things, what gets stuck, soaping them afterward. And so, you know, my sister and I, we're used to doing these dishes at home where you're just grinding it out of the sink, and then you got to rinse everything, throw it into the rack. Come back with a towel, dry it off, put it in the cabinet, all that sort of stuff. Not very fun. And at the parish, they had these magical machines called dishwashers. I tell you what, people would bring these plates to us, we just toss them in there like bang, 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 walk away. We thought we were scamming this old man. We were like, he thinks we're doing the dishes? That machine's doing the dishes, not us. And so eventually, Al figured that out and thought it was funny. And you know, the story could end there. Funny little moment. But a few years later, we're hanging out at the house, and there's a knock at the door. And now, if any of y'all are dealing with some iPad generation kids these days, that might not mean anything. I tell you what, my kids don't even look up when there's a knock at the door these days. But back then, 1992 or whatever, a knock at the door was like everything. All of us kids are running to the door, want to see what's going on. You know, we rip it open. I'm sure we weren't supposed to answer the door, but we did it anyway. And my mom's trailing behind. And we open the door, and on this particular day, Al's standing out there. And he's got this mischievous look in his eyes. He's rubbing his hands together. He's like, come here, kids, come here. I want to show you something. And so we're like, oh, man, what's Al going to show us? So we run outside. He's got his big blue pickup truck parked out front. By the way, if you drove a pickup truck today, I'm going to need your keys. There's a basket in the back. I don't know if you've seen the ad saying I'm going to outlaw all pickup trucks, but I can't wait till day one. I'm going to take my pick of the litter. It's going to be very exciting. Fun story. One of my first cars was actually a 1982 powder blue Dodge Ram that I got because it looked just like Al's truck, and I thought that was one sweet ride. So if you got that outside, it's gone. Kiss it goodbye. It's mine. But so we all run up to Al's truck. He slams down the tailgate. He's pointing up at it. He's like, kids, you know what that is? And we look up and we're like, my God, that's a dishwashing machine, isn't it, huh? And you never seen kids so excited over a piece of equipment before, but I'm going to tell you what, we were jamming. And the thing was, you know, Al had gotten his kitchen renovated years after those dinners, and he remembered us kids, and he took his old dishwasher out of his house instead of having them take it away, loaded it up into his pickup truck, brought it by our house, and called up one of his buddies, and they installed it for us that afternoon. And so Al was, you know, just one of those guys. He came to some of my rallies this spring. I really miss him. And as a kid, or as a youngster, he used to take me down to the Marine Corps League. I don't know if anybody been to the one out in Apache Flats, but that's where he went, Marine Corps League in Apache Flats. And I meet these guys, you know, behind closed doors, everybody talk about what's going on. I don't know, we got any veterans in the house tonight? If you're a veteran, put your hand up. Let's give it up for them, folks. Yeah. And so, you know, I go to the Marine Corps League, and these guys would talk, and I'm telling you what, 98% of them were drafted, right? They had crap jobs. A lot of them had seen their buddies die, and seen some really hard things while they were deployed to Vietnam. It was mostly Vietnam era guys at that time, a couple of Korea. And when they came home, if they were lucky, they got ignored. And if they weren't lucky, they got treated like trash. And many were still suffering through what we now call post-traumatic stress disorder, right? PTSD. And these were guys who had every excuse to hate their country, to hate their community, to be salty on every, well, they were still salty, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, to just take it out and not do anything. I'm going to tell you right now, like, the guys at the Marine Corps League in Apache Flats, despite all of that, they were the people who took care of their community like nobody else, right? Despite what they'd been through, they did everything for everybody without ever looking for any glory in return, without ever looking for any money, without looking for anything, but because it was the right thing to do, because they loved their country and they loved their community. I'm going to tell you what, if anyone was going to write a book about manhood, it should have been written about them, not about Josh Holly, right? And so these guys, I'm not gonna lie, like, these guys are my heroes. I wanted to be just like them. And so when I graduated school, I was looking for a way to pay back my community, protect and serve everybody, honor everybody for what they did for my family. And so I became a U.S. Marine, just like my heroes. I don't know if I should thank them or hate them for that, but, you know, here we are many years later, and I'm actually still in the Marine Corps Reserves, and I got to get to that 20. I don't have any money. Get out of time. So, and I did it for real. You know, I did 13 years on active duty. I deployed to Iraq where I led a police training team, so I had 12 Marines and a Navy corpsman, led dozens of missions outside the wire there, up and down the roads of Fallujah, Habaniya, Ramadi. You know, my job was to bring everybody home safe on that team, which, you know, thank God we did do. And it's a beautiful thing when we get home safe. And then I deployed to Afghanistan twice on task forces. Unfortunately, not everybody made it home from those. And I think what really, like, grinds my gears about this whole thing is that while I was in and out of war zones for 13 years, serving and protecting my community, Josh Hawley and his country club politician buddies were literally waging war right here at home on the community that I signed up to protect. Literally waging war on it. I mean, let's think about what this guy did when he became our Attorney General. The first thing he did was he dismantled the division of that office that was made to keep us safe from the massive corporations that funded his campaign. Pay to play, right there, straight up corruption. Then he broke the correction workers union. Went after law enforcement, broke the correction workers union. Because they were trying to get paid for their switchover time. And he wanted them to not get paid for that time. And then the third feather in his cap for the 3 seconds he was our Attorney General before he ran for the U.S. Senate was overseeing a lawsuit that took away overtime pay for more than 200,000 Missourians. If you or someone in your family or a friend is not getting overtime pay right now and think you should be, it's because of Josh Hawley. Straight up because of Josh Hawley. That's right. And you know what that move did? That cost us working people $27 million every single year. Now I get it. Maybe for a guy who makes $500,000 writing self-help books about manhood while he's supposed to be serving as U.S. Senate, $27 million might not seem like that much, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, that overtime pay, that was everything for people in the community I grew up in. That's the money we use to take care of one another the way they took care of me, right? It's the money that we use to buy our kids an extra pair of shoes during the school year, something that I really watched my parents struggle with when I was growing up. And if you go back to that old neighborhood right now, drive up there, it's not that far, Clark and Dunklin, Cottage Lane, like, this beautiful slice of Americana when I was growing up has been devastated by Josh Hawley's war on working people. You know, the first house I lived in on Cottage Lane is now an empty lot. The only new houses around there are Habitat for Humanity houses when the lot is big enough to put one on. The house everybody bought food by when I was talking about earlier, when they were taking care of our family, the same one I signed my Marine Corps papers out of, my home of record, is currently boarded up to keep the squatters out of it. You know, the store that was on the corner of Clark and Dunklin, where my little sister and I, when we were six and 8 years old, would walk to by ourselves, feeling perfectly safe, right? We'd buy candy. My mom had this 10-cent refill cup. We'd fill it up with Mountain Dew. You want to hear about cheap? My mom's like, no ice. Make sure you don't put any ice in there. I'm not wasting my money on ice. She's getting every single one of those 10 pennies, folks. Of course, she didn't actually, because we filled up to the brim. By the time we got home, there was only half left. I'm telling you how much. Mom, I don't know. It must have sloshed out, you know. It's rough sidewalks out there. But that store, when we were 6 and 8 years old, we would walk to by ourselves, was shut down a few years ago because it was robbed so many times it couldn't get insurance anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the Missouri that I grew up in. It's just not. But it is Josh Hawley's Missouri. That is the Missouri that Josh Hawley is bringing to every single one of us. I'm going to tell you right now, it's coming for every single corner of our state unless we fight back and take power back right now. That's why I'm here tonight. It's why I'm doing this campaign, because we have to fundamentally change who has power in this country. We have to change who has power in this country, because they're just going to take, extract our wealth, destroy our communities for themselves, right? That's what it's all about. And it's a real shame. I mean, it's gross. But I mean, here's the deal. Like, does anybody think that these massive corporations and the politicians that they have bought off are going to give that power back voluntarily? No. Hell no. We are going to have to claw it back. We're going to have to fight for it. We are going to have to take it back, because they're just going to take more and more like they do every single year. And so I'm going to promise you right now, like, the number one way that we have power in this country is by organizing. That's it. It's by organizing. We got to organize to win elections, which is what we're doing in our campaign. I want you to sign up to volunteer, and we got to be able to organize in the workplace. And so I'm going to promise you right now, as our U.S. Senator, I will vote to pass the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, so that we never have to worry about Josh Hawley's right to work anti-union stances in this state. Because we have got to take power back. I'm going to support paid medical sick leave. I can't believe that you got to choose between your job and taking care of your kid in this country. I think it's wrong, and we got to mandate sick leave. And we're on this topic of who's got power in this country. I will do literally everything I can to end Citizens United and abolish corporate tax. Because those are the tools that these guys use to buy off weak-minded, corrupt, ambitious people like Josh Hawley, so that they can literally strip our communities for parts. We gotta take it down, we gotta stop it. And so as your U.S. Senator, I'm gonna tell you right now, I will stand beside working people every single day as a U.S. Senator, because that's who stood beside me and my family when we were growing up and we didn't know how we were gonna make it. And I want to talk about that community for a minute. I want to talk about your communities, and I want to talk about all the ones that they refuse to invest in. Like, I don't get what your job is as a U.S. Senator if it is not to bring money back home and invest in projects around this state, right? Like, I shouldn't even have to talk about this. This shouldn't be an issue for me. Like, let's look at Roy Blunt. Whatever you think about the man politically, in his last two years in office, he brought back more than $300 million of our taxpayer money in projects every single year. It's just a true statement. Because that is the bare minimum of what you're supposed to do. And if that money doesn't get spent here, y'all know where it's getting spent? New York, California. It's going to get spent somewhere where there's a U.S. senator who cares about their state and brings it home. Now, can anybody guess how many dollars Josh Hawley has marked for our state as a U.S. senator? Zero. Man, we got a bunch of Jeopardy champions up in here. Yeah, it's zero. It's literally zero. How shameful is that, right? And the man is proud of it. If he is our U.S. senator for the next 6 years, that's going to cost us $2 billion compared to Roy Blunt. $2 billion. We literally can't afford another 6 years of Josh Hawley as our U.S. senator. And that's not it. The man voted against repairing our infrastructure, which is now doing great work all around the state, great union jobs. He voted against building out the next generation of energy and manufacturing right here in mid-Missouri. Right? He voted against that. We were invited down to West Plains, Missouri, of all places, the other day to have a big rally by the machinists there because Josh Hawley voted against $600 million for a machinist plant in West Plains and another one outside of St. Louis. And guess what? This is the real kicker. This is how lazy that man is and how little he cares about Missouri. Someone asked him. The machinist said they've been trying to get in touch with him for months to get him to vote for this bill. And when finally he was asked for a reporter, why didn't you vote for that bill? His response was, well, there wasn't any money for Missouri in that bill. Literally doesn't do the fair. This is what happens when you're too busy writing self-help books and not doing your job, right? And I'm the exact opposite. I have a Marshall Plan for the Midwest to build out the next generation of energy and manufacturing right here to make our houses more energy efficient, our school buses, and everything else. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a U.S. senator, right? And this is so important to me. You know, a lot of people don't know this about me. I think we might be putting in some ads soon, but like, I will do anything and work with anyone to keep our country safe and to bring money back to this state. Literally anyone. An example I'll give is, you know, I extended my time on active duty for an entire year because I was asked to extend to work in Donald Trump administration's Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering. And I did it because I want to protect this country. And I'm going to tell you what, right now, one of the reasons I did it is because currently, you can't build a single major weapon system in the U.S. arsenal without inputs from China. Like, look, I'm not hating on China, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is crazy to let financiers outsource so many things that you can't even make your own weapon systems without inputs from what is our biggest adversary, right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievably embarrassing. The reason we're in that situation is because people like Josh Hawley, and the shareholder class and the financiers who run companies right now, they have literally waged war on our nation's greatest national security asset for the generation, and that's the American worker. They have waged war on the American worker, offshored everything, so we can't make anything anymore. Yeah. I mean, just go to Jeff City, you see that. Maytag plant, gone. Right? R. Donnelly, gone. Yeah. Johnson Controls, gone.
Yeah.
Nobody fought for those. I'm sure it's the same around here and everywhere else. And so for me, you know, I don't know if we got these signs floating around, but there are some that say make stuff in America again. And with a little asterisk in them, I don't know if I got one you can hold up. But that is a priority of this campaign, to make things here in America again. I put my money, my mouth where my money is. We're going to do that. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get a new U.S. senator. And while we're talking about investment, I can't believe I even got to bring this up, but I want to acknowledge the biggest investment that we make in our paychecks every single month, our money, our investment in Social Security and Medicare. These guys want to privatize it. They want to cut it. They want to hand the keys over to Goldman Sachs. I don't know if you've seen what happened with several pension funds that those guys got their hands on, but they disappeared, and they had to be bailed out by the federal government, right? Never, 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 never on my watch. I'm going to tell you right now, I will always protect those programs. And I will never, ever vote to privatize them. I saw what happens when you privatize things at the Pentagon. It is not good. It just steals from taxpayers. And the thing about this is, and if you talk about this to anybody and they give you the standard line that these politicians have, raise the right, throw the BS flag up. Sorry, I had to correct myself so I didn't say anything naughty there. But like these guys, whenever it's time for us to get our money back, that's when they become fiscally conservative, right? Suddenly, there's not enough money for us to have our own money back, right? Like, that's crazy. And you got to throw the flag on that, because I'm going to tell you right now, these exact same politicians voted over and over again to spend $6.4 trillion nation building Iraq and Afghanistan, particularly Iraq, in a war for oil for Exxon, right? And they voted for it over and over again while my old neighborhood was absolutely gutted and fell apart. And, I know I'm keeping it very here for a long time, but I want to tell you a story about what nation building in Afghanistan looks like. You know, I've been there, I've done this, and I was at a base for a little while in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, a very dirty, dusty place with lots of war fighting. And a defense contractor proposed building this like 60-something million dollar shed in the middle of the government, in the middle of the desert, that the our Marine Corps general at the time specifically said, no, please do not build something out there. It's going to be a magnet for terrorists. We don't want it. We don't need it. We will never use it. So they were like, well, the Afghan government will use it. Afghan government said, please do not build that thing out there in the middle of the desert. It's going to be a magnet for terrorists. We don't want nothing to do with it. Like, we're not going to use it. Well, what do you think the defense contractor did? Took all of our tax dollars together, put them out there, and built a metal shed building in the middle of nowhere. Actually, it was a fairly fancy building for a metal shed in the middle of nowhere. And I will say this, the general was wrong, and the Afghan government was wrong, because even the Taliban didn't care about that building and didn't want anything to do with it, right? That's how stupid it was. It got scrapped by metal scrappers. Like, that is where our tax dollars went over there while our neighborhoods fell apart. It's absolutely criminal. And so, again, like, these same guys who find money for things like that, nation building somewhere else, are also the same people who, after telling us we can't have our money back, will hand out bailouts in the matter of billions and billions of dollars to the financiers, to Wall Street, whenever they jack up our economy and screw it all up for the rest of us, right? They do it over and over again. And if you'll permit me one more story, I'm fuming right now, but like, this one really pisses me off. And so I was in Iraq in 2009. I came back in 2009, and I hope this makes you mad too. In 2010, my job for that year was to try to keep Marines in their houses who were being illegally foreclosed upon by the big banks who we just bailed out. And I'm telling you, nothing kills you more than when a Marine comes into your office and he's like, sir, I signed up after September 11th when Wall Street was attacked. When New York was attacked, I thought we were all in this together. I just came back from my fourth deployment to Iraq, and I don't have my house anymore. And I don't know what happened. I had the money for it. I had the auto stuff set up. I don't know, maybe something got messed up, but it's gone, and they're telling me I can't get it back. I can pay them whatever the money is. I was deployed. I didn't even spend anything. And I couldn't get the man his house back because, sure enough, it had been taken away. And so what these banks did, so there's a law in place that says you can't foreclose on a service member unless they are personally served the paperwork. Because we deployed a moment's notice, we deployed to places where you don't have access to anything, and the law was made to protect us from people for taking away our houses when we have the money or when we're in a situation where we can remedy it, right? It seems like a pretty fair law to me. It's called the Service Member Civil Relief Act. And it's actually a criminal statute, and these big banks ignored it, foreclosed on thousands of service members. And I'll tell you right now, I know the law was on our side, and the reason for that is if a service member came to me before their house was gone, I was able to keep every single one of them in their house because these guys were violating the law. But if it was already gone, there was nothing I could do about it. And so criminal statute. And I'm going to ask you guys a question. Again, this is not like a traffic violation. This is actually a criminal statute with criminal penalties. How many people do you think went to jail for stealing veterans' houses? All right. I don't know if you guys are just good at Jeopardy or if I just keep asking questions where the answer is zero. Is that the default? How much money did Josh Holler bring back? Oh, zero. How many of these guys got punished? Zero, right? But no, how sad is it that everyone in here instinctively knows that no one paid the price for those crimes? That is devastating to me, honestly. Like, a man who believes in justice, who believes in the law, like, the fact that every single one of us in here automatically knows nobody paid the price for that. No one got in trouble for that, right? No, what happened was several years later, these companies paid a meager fine. No one who made the decision got in any trouble. They all, you know, retired on their yachts and everything else and went their merry way, right? That's criminal. That is criminal. Literally.
Yes.
And I reject that. I reject that. I refuse, as a U.S. senator, to transfer another dime of everyday people's wealth up to the shareholder class and the financiers who have been just doing fine, if you ask me. Not another dime. And the reason I can do that is because of the way we run this campaign. I take no money from corporate PACs. But I don't stop there. I take no money from federal lobbyists. I take no money from big pharma executives. You know, we got a real list. I try not to take money from any of these people because they have literally been buying off our politicians and using them to strip our communities for parts. And I'll tell you what, I am so proud not to take money from big pharma executives because the other day a woman came up to me and told me her story, and I'll share that with you real quick. So I don't know if anybody saw, but finally we capped the price of insulin. By the way, Josh Hawley voted against that, in case anyone was wondering whose side he's on. Voted against that, right? And so I've been talking about that for a while on the campaign trail before it got capped. And a woman came up to me at an event just crying and saying how grateful she was that I was bringing attention to this. So if you don't know, the insulin industry in America was run by a cartel of three companies. Still is. So these three companies, you can tell it's cartel because if you chart their price increases, it looks like a staircase. They literally all increase their prices together. And so, first of all, that is not capitalism. That's not capitalism, people. That is a cartel. Capitalism is supposed to be a free market with competition, and competition decides what the market price is going to be for something, right? That's what we need to have back in this country, real capitalism. But no, what ended up setting the market price for insulin, and this will break anyone's heart, is how many amputations and deaths the market would bear before people got so pissed off that they finally did something about it, which eventually we got to and capped the price of insulin, right? That's how we got to a reasonable price on this thing. And so this woman comes up to me in this event, just so happy I'm talking about it. She's like, I want to share my story with you, and I think you all should know this story. And so she's like, you know, my son has been on insulin since he was a little kid. He's a type 1 diabetic. He has to have it to survive. And we get a 90-day supply through our insurance company, and that's how we get it, 90 days at a time. She's like, so we just got our supply a little while ago, and we went to go visit some family members. And we came back home, and we realized that our power was out and had been out. If you don't know, insulin is stored in her, what she had anyway, stored in the refrigerator. And she said, you know, heart just sinks, freaks out, runs to the refrigerator, opens it up, doesn't even care all the food spoiled, sees that the insulin's been warm for who knows how long. And so she frantically calls up her insurance company. She's like, I just lost basically like a whole 90-day supply. Like, I only got a little bit left because we took it on a trip with family. Is there anything you can do for me? And she's like, they said, well, you can go pay for it out of pocket. And so she hangs up. Calls up a pharmacy or goes down there and finds out that it's going to be like $8,000. And she calls back up the insurance company and she's like, it's going to be $8,000, right? Like, I don't have that type of money. Like, I'm your normal working person. She's like, there's no way. I can't even get a credit card that would advance me $8,000. And she's like, the guy on the other line was like, well, don't worry about it. If you buy it, like, you'll probably get being reimbursed after you fill out a bunch of paperwork and can prove it wasn't your fault. And she's like, I don't think you get it, sir. Like, I cannot get $8,000 to buy this at some. And then she starts crying. And she says, I felt so helpless in the worst moment of my entire life. Was when I gave my son that insulin and hoped that it was still good enough that he would survive. She's like, I called everybody, and like a day or two later, someone told me you can get a price override at the pharmacy. She went down there, she got that, she got her insulin. But what type of a system do we have where a woman is put into that situation? It's unbelievable. Talk about criminal, right? And so for me, that's why I'm so proud that I take no money from big pharma executives. Because they are stripping our communities for parts. They will literally take our health and convert it into profits for their shareholders. Now, we're not going to end on a downer like that. So I will say this, though. When I told everybody I was going to run my campaign with no corporate PAC money, no federal lobbyist money, no big pharma, et cetera, et cetera. You won't believe it, but the Illuminati who runs elections were like, that's impossible. One lady, before refusing to work with me, said, I'll leave the quote with you because it's quite memorable and easy to remember. She said, that's stupid. And walked off. And frankly, what I think is stupid and what I think is impossible is I think it's impossible to represent the people you're supposed to represent if you do take that money. And so we decided to do it my way. I'm a stubborn Marine, what can I say? Get that from my mom. And you know, it'd be a lot of fun if I could be able to stand up here and be like, I proved them all wrong, I did it, I raised this money all by myself, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I didn't do anything. However, $5, $10, $15, $30 at a time, you, people in this room, and others around this state in every single county, raised $16 million so far. And to put that into perspective, that's more money than any Democrat or Republican challenger for a Senate race in this state has ever raised, and we did it the right way. Because when you do things the right way, when you give people something to invest in, to believe in, when you give people an opportunity to take power back for themselves, you'll realize that's what we all want, right? Just to make our own decisions. And so I just want to say how excited I am to have all of you here tonight. It is beautiful. It's critical. Like, we are building a coalition, not just to transform the way elections are won in this state, but to transform the opportunities in this state for a generation. We are doing that together. Do we have any members of organized labor in this room? Anyone, past, present? Please raise your hand. Hey, let's give it up to them. As a U.S. Marine, I get thanked for my service all the time. That's right, labor for you. And I think we need to take a second here to thank them for their service, all right? The reason we have middle class, the reason workers get decent wages in this state, whether you're union or non-union, is because we have strong unions. And if you don't believe me, give it up for them. Like, I'm so proud to have gotten the AFL-CIO's earliest ever endorsement for U.S. Senate Challenger in Missouri history. I even got an endorsement from the International Association of Firefighters, who, if you don't know, thank you. They endorsed Mike Kehoe, Eric Schmidt, Ann Wagner, you know, Roy Blunt, all those guys. But they saw my record of service. They saw just what a cartoon villain Josh Hawley is. And they were like, we are not going to stand with that man. We're standing with the Marine. And that's why I got it. And so what I'm here today to do is to ask you to continue on. You have joined the coalition by being here tonight, but I need you to do more than that. We have to win this race. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime, like, opportunity, right? It really could, because he is a cartoon villain. And we do have a real opportunity right now with abortion on the ballot in the fall, with my race doing what it's doing, with everything that you see going on right now. Like, Josh Hawley is a controlling freak, and that is what people are rejecting right now. Like, we can win this thing in November. We can win it. But I need every single one of you to join us, all right? If you haven't gone on the website yet to volunteer, sign up to volunteer. Like, in order to win, we need an army that includes every single person in this room and thousands more across this state. But if we build that, if everybody sends the text messages, makes the phone calls, knocks the doors, get your neighbors out there, make sure that people are going to vote for me, actually get out and vote. You know, we got a crazy thing this year. 2 weeks of no excuse early absentee ballot voting. Like, you can get in any time and make this happen. We can win this thing, but I need you on our side. As wonderful as my wife is, going all around the state with me, and the team, if you're on Team Coons, please raise your hand. We got a bunch of good Missourians here tonight, folks. Like, these guys are incredible. We can't do it alone, though. We can't do it alone. Just like we couldn't keep ourselves safe alone tonight. Nothing happened, thank God. But I do want to give it up for Jamie and Clayton, our sheriff's crew, who's taking care of us tonight. If you can. Thanks, guys. We can win this thing.